Hey, you guys! Time once again for the Flickers of Fear series. I'm very, very excited to be doing this one because I've been wanting to see this fucking movie for like 2 years, maybe? Something like that. Because I think what ended up happening with this movie was that probably, I think one of the last movies that Tom and I saw in the theaters before COVID was The Invisible Man with Elizabeth Moss. And I'm pretty sure that when we went to see that movie, we saw the preview, like the trailer for this movie. And I maybe had seen it once or twice before because I think I saw it at least 2 times because I was like, ooh, it's A24, which I usually love their movies. And I was like, that looks fucking good. So then obviously, the theater shut down and all this other crap happened, and I didn't really get around to seeing it. I think it had sort of like a limited release. It played at some festivals. Like, it released in the UK for a little while, and I think it even got a limited release in the US as well, but I didn't get to see it in the theater. And then finally, they added it on Amazon Prime, and I was able to finally watch it. And this is the 2019 British film, Saint Maud. Now, if you guys saw the trailer, and I'm gonna say, I don't know if I'm gonna spoil it, because this is a pretty new movie. And I know that it's gotten like a huge amount of buzz, and rightly so, I think, because I'm gonna tell you like right out front, I loved this movie. I just thought it was so amazing. And it's just kind of like the fact that it's Rose Glass's debut, like she wrote and directed it, and it's just, I mean, it's easily one of the best horror movies I've seen in a very long time. And, that's not to say that everyone is also going to love it because, like I said, it's A24. If you like A24 films that are kind of like, it's kind of a cliche to say slow burn. It kind of is, although not as much as some other ones that I've seen and enjoyed. If you like the movies of Oz Perkins, like if you like The Black Coat's Daughter or I Am the Pretty Thing That Lives in the House, this isn't really exactly like that, but it's the same kind of vibe. You know what I'm getting at? So if you like that kind of stuff, then you will probably like this as well, even though it's not really all that similar to those two movies, if that makes any sense. I'm not sure that it does. But like I said, I don't know if I necessarily want to spoil anything, but it's kind of hard to talk about without spoiling it. However, on the other hand, I think this movie is so much better if you don't really know where it's going. Now, just from the trailer, you could tell that it was about a girl that was, you presumed, a nurse, and she was really religious. And that was kind of all I knew about it. So I kind of liked that that's all I knew going into it because I had no idea what was gonna transpire like over the course of the movie. And so the whole thing, like through the whole thing, I was just sitting there kind of on the edge of my seat, like because I wasn't really sure like where it was gonna go or what was gonna happen or anything like that. So I would suggest if you want to see this movie, like going into it pretty much blind. Because it's just a lot better that way, and I think it's a lot more unsettling because you don't really know what to expect. But that said, I am gonna have to like talk about it some, even though I'm gonna try not to spoil anything outright. But as I said, and I usually say this in my book reviews too, it's like if you don't want to know anything about it, obviously, why are you watching a video about it? But I mean, Ryan Hollinger, who I really like, if you don't know him, he's like an Irish movie reviewer, and he generally does horror movies. And he does like real in-depth reviews of them. And he did one of Saint Maud. And I was like, I was dying because I wanted to watch it. But I was like, I wanted to watch this review. But I was like, no, I have to watch the movie first because I knew because he usually spoils it because he does like a really in-depth discussion. But I did finally watch the movie. So I finally got to watch it. So I was happy about that. So this movie, written and directed by Rose Glass, as I said, and this is her first, this is her feature film debut. And this tells the story of a young woman named Maud, obviously. Who's played by Morvith Clark. Hopefully I'm pronouncing that right. I did live in Wales for a little while, so I do kind of know how to pronounce some Welsh words, but I think that's how you pronounce it. So at the very beginning, there's a scene where you're led to believe, I mean, you kind of learn little things about her over the course of the movie, like about her past and stuff, but I like that it wasn't spelled out. I mean, this is another one that you really, really have to pay attention to. Everything that's going on, like some of the flashbacks that she has, some of the stuff that she says, some of the stuff that other people say to her, because a lot of her past and her thought processes are kind of illuminated through that rather than it, just being like really obvious. So at the very beginning, you can tell she's in her nurse's uniform and she's sitting in a corner and she's just covered with blood. And then there's, you know, a patient that is obviously dead, like with blood dripping down. So you're led to assume that something that she did caused this person's death. And like I said, that's kind of all the information you're given on that. But like little bits of it come out like as the movie goes on. So some little time later, I think it was like a year or something like that, she has gotten a new position as a private care nurse for this woman named Amanda. Now, Amanda is 49 years old. She used to be a dancer and choreographer of some renown. Like she knows, you know, she lived in New York and London, and she was kind of, you know, one of those kind of people that's up in the, you know, like art scene and everything like that. However, now she has stage 4 lymphoma. I believe it's a cancer of the spinal column or something like that. And she is dying. So she's had a series of live-in care nurses to take care of her while in her convalescence, you know. So Maude shows up, and there's kind of an interesting dynamic between these two women pretty much immediately. Because as the movie goes on, you learn that Maude, after the tragedy which happened where one of her patients died, like I said, I think it was a year or so, maybe a little more than a year prior to the events of the movie, she, because of the trauma, she not only ended up losing her position at the hospital that she worked at, but she also had a conversion, and she becomes like super Catholic. I mean, you know what I mean? And it's kind of like one of those things where, you know, it's like a new convert and they're like really, really hardcore about it. So she lived in this like shabby little room. She's got like a shrine and everything. So she thinks, I guess, that because she lived kind of a dissolute life prior to the patient dying under her care, she deals with her trauma by essentially like giving her life over to a new faith and becoming really, really hardcore about it. So as this relationship between her patient and her develops, she becomes convinced that her mission in life, that God has told her that she is supposed to save Amanda's soul, because Amanda is an atheist and doesn't believe that there's anything in the afterlife. She is afraid of dying. And she's kind of like, it's really funny because in a very early scene where Maude first arrives at the mansion and she relieves the other nurse, you know, she asks the other nurse, she's kind of like, well, you know, what's Amanda like or something like that. And the other nurse, she's kind of dismissive because she just wants to leave. She's like, she's a bit of a cunt. That's like pretty much how she describes her. So Amanda, she's not a terrible person, but she is kind of dismissive toward Maude's religious beliefs while still kind of being afraid of dying. And so she's kind of almost like a little bit sarcastic, like she's kind of teasing her about her beliefs, but Maude doesn't really register that. So as the movie goes on, she becomes, as I said, more and more convinced that this is her mission in life, is she's supposed to save this woman's soul before she dies. And it doesn't quite go the way that you think it might. So, like I said, I don't want to spoil too much about this, but I thought this was just a fantastic movie. Is it a horror movie? Yeah, it does have some body horror, like some kind of gross body horror. Like people do get killed. There's some gross shit with her doing like self, you know, where she like burns her own hand and is like pulling the skin off. So there's like some gross shit in it. It's mostly, though, it's kind of like a character study of Maude. And this is kind of a spoiler to say this, but her increasing delusion. Because as the movie goes on, you know, she ends up, And as I said, I'm kind of getting into like mild spoiler territory here, but about at the halfway point of the movie, she ends up getting fired from Amanda's care, and rightfully so, because she did something bad. But after that, she kind of has a backslide into what she used to be like before her conversion. And, you know, just from her interactions with other people and the way she's acting, she was kind of a party girl. Like, she would go out to the bars and drink, and she'd just like take random men home and stuff like that. So there's a lot of like little hints about that, you know, throughout the movie. I think there's even, and I didn't even really realize this until I was watching like a couple other analyses of it, but there's one very brief scene where she's kind of laying on her bed and you can kind of see part of her stomach, and it looks like there's kind of scars or like stretch marks or something like that. So I don't know if you're led to believe that she got pregnant at some point because she was, you know, because she was promiscuous or something like that. But it's left very ambiguous, but it is kind of implied during the film that, you know, she lived this kind of like, and I wasn't like slutty or anything like that, but she was like, you know, she used to hang out with people and go out drinking and, you know, sleeping around and stuff like that. And for whatever reason, after she lost her job and after all of that happened, she kind of went into a downward spiral, which led to her conversion to Catholicism and her getting like really fervid about it. So a bunch of other stuff, like one of the things that she does before she gets fired from Amanda's thing is that Amanda has had, she has this lady friend named Carol who comes over, and she essentially like pays her for sex, right? So obviously Maude does not approve of this. I don't know if she doesn't approve of the paying for sex or because it's two women. But it doesn't really matter. She just doesn't approve of it. And she actually kind of goes behind Amanda's back and like tells Carol to leave because she's like, we're doing something important here. Like, I have to save her soul and all this other kind of stuff. And Carol's like, yeah, sure. Okay, whatever. And the thing about it is that Maude as a character, and like I said, this is a very intense character study. She's sympathetic, but she's also awful. And I mean, she's awful because she's mentally ill and she's very delusional. So in that way, she's very sympathetic. And it does seem like after her conversion, she has a very, very difficult time relating to people. It's almost kind of like people now seem like aliens to her. You know, there's one scene where she's in a bar and like she's just kind of looking at people and everybody just looks like kind of weird and distorted and everything. Like, she can't really deal with the real world anymore because her mental illness is progressing to such an extent that she doesn't feel like on the same plane with people, because now she feels like she's on this great mission and that God talks to her and all these other things. So, as I said, I will say that it's actually, this is a admirably short film. It's only an hour and 24 minutes long. It's kind of, so I like that it told its story in that like succinct amount of time. And the movie really sustains a sense of just this really, it has a really unsettling vibe to it, especially if you go into it not really knowing, because as the movie goes on, like the imagery gets weirder and weirder and you're just kind of sitting there going, wait, is there really supernatural shit going on? Or is this just how she's perceiving things? So if you don't know where it's going, it's just kind of like just gets creepier and creepier. And I mean, her performance, Morvis Clark's performance is just so, so good. I mean, she's just so, like, the physicality of it, just like her facial expressions. And there's a couple of like really creepy scenes, like kind of, you know, I hate to like cheapen them by calling them jump scares, but there are a couple moments in it that just like kind of came out of nowhere and just like scared the fucking crap out of me because I wasn't expecting it. Like, especially one of the scenes near the end. And I will say that the very, very end of this, like the last couple frames of the movie, was really like a punch in the gut. You know what I mean? It was just kind of like, you, especially if you really got immersed in the movie and immersed in her character, you know, it's kind of cool because it kind of leads you along this one path, like of ambiguity and stuff like that. But then the end of it, like definitively, you know, no, it was this. And just that final, like I said, it's almost like a jump scare because you're not really expecting it. Just kind of pops out and it's gone like a couple frames later. But it was just, it was so, so effective. And I just think that's so great that it ended like that. And it was just like this kind of self-contained story about this poor young woman who obviously had some trauma in her past and needed some help. Some people did reach out to help her later on, but by that point it was probably too late because she was too far gone. And she had really taken it upon herself to think that she was kind of God's emissary on earth and this is what she was supposed to do, and, you know, damn anybody who got in her way kind of thing, which Like I said, that's never a good thing when a person comes to that kind of conclusion. But as I said, you can still kind of sympathize with her because she's clearly so lonely and so mentally ill that she can't really help it. So this movie is now on Amazon Prime. I think you can also get it on Blu-ray, but maybe only in the UK. I was watching another horror channel, Drum Dums, and somebody had sent him the Blu-ray from the UK because he said it was hard to get in the US, so I don't know about now. But it's on Amazon Prime. If you have a subscription, you can watch it on there. In the US, I'm not sure about other countries, but it's like I said, if you like any of A24's stuff, like I said, you know, elevated horror, whatever they want to call it, and you liked, you know, things like The Witch or things like The Black Coat's Daughter or things like that, this is kind of the same vibe as that. It's not, like I said, it's a slow burn, but it's not that slow. And some of the stuff that happens in it, like it does have some pretty horrific imagery, and the implications of it are kind of horrific too. Like I said, if you, but you really have to, this is one of those movies that you really need to like kind of focus your whole attention on it and like become immersed in this girl's character and in her world. And it has a lot more impact if you do that. But yeah, I'm really, really glad that I finally got to see this movie because was it, I saw the trailer like 2 years ago and I was like, oh man, that looks really good and I really want to see it. And then I never got to see it. And then finally it came to Amazon Prime and I was like super excited. So I was afraid too that it's like, because I'd been waiting to see it for so long that it would be disappointing because, you know, I'd heard so much hype about it and everything like that. But it really wasn't. It was actually like much better than I was expecting it to be. But, you know, as I said, if you don't like kind of slow burn horror movies, you don't like character study type of movies, then you probably won't like it. But I do kind of feel like, you know, if you do like that kind of stuff, then you'll probably really like it. I mean, I thought it was fantastic. And I can't wait to see what Rose Glass does next because I think she's going to be like another big name in some upcoming horror films, I hope, because this one was just a pretty dynamite debut, gotta say. So yeah, check it out if it sounds like something that you would enjoy. And that will do it for this Flickers of Fear, and I will see you on the next one. Bye.